This 15th chapter of Revelation. I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven angels having the seven last plague, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. Them that had got victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. I want to talk again tonight a little while to your hearts from that fifth verse. Pray that God will help us to see in a more vivid way the truth that so needs to be declared in this day and age in which we're living. These truths get down to something specific. You know as well as I do, we're living in a day and age when this falsity that first began in Roman Catholicism and then spread on out into Protestantism is having a poor, deceived religious world feel that makes no difference what brand of religion you're in. We all make up the church that Jesus built, and we're all working with one purpose in mind, and I'll not go in to the depth of that message that's being declared over the land. But friend, we want you to see that God's truth is more precise than that. Amen. And because, my friend, of that which is being declared, we fail to see being wept over the land, that which we've enjoyed here tonight. Friend, we want you to see tonight that God's word will produce something. Amen. God's eternal truth will produce something. And whenever it fails to produce, my friend, we need to look into the matter and see if it's really God's truth or whether it's something being given to us and called God's word. See, I think you understand what I mean. Over the land tonight and tomorrow, especially, the radio will be full and the newspapers with many different messages and all of it God's truth. But if you line it up one after the other, we'll find they cross each other up using the same scriptures in different ways. And because of it, there's a mass of confusion in the religious world. We want to deal with the thought tonight for a while. The thought of the open temple. My friend, and what by the word of God must exist and what must take place for the very temple or the real church that Jesus built to be opened up. As we look in this fifth verse, we see here that John said after these things took place, he said, after that I looked and behold the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. We want you to, for the benefit of new people, want you to remember that John was on the Isle of Patmos. God came down on the Lord's day and opened up heaven and gave him a panoramic view, as we have across the chart here, of the reign of the church clear through the gospel day. He saw things that had happened in his own day, things that were happening, and things that would happen in the future, clear down to the day and age in which we're living. He saw the condition that the church went through the dark ages. He watched her come up through the dark and cloudy day of Protestantism and right on over to the time when the prophet Zechariah had prophesied that in the evening time of this gospel day that it'd be light just like it was in the morning time. And when he got down to this part of the vision, he said, I looked and lo, the temple of the tabernacle, the testimony in heaven was opened. Now, friends, let's remember this first of all tonight as we get understanding. Remember that the revelation is written in symbols. There, my friend, God gave John a panoramic view in symbols of spiritual truths, taking many places literal things as symbols of spiritual things. So when he begins to talk about the temple of the tabernacle, the testimony in heaven, we must first of all drop the thought that John saw a picture of the church over in heaven or the temple over in heaven. Somebody said, well, why would you drop that? Well, because John would have you drop it. Because the scripture would have you drop it. In Revelation, the 21st chapter and the 22nd verse, when he saw the heavenly phase of the kingdom, he said, I saw no temple therein.
Amen.
Now why? My friend, there'll be no church over in heaven.
Amen.
Now let's boil it down by the scripture. No, my friend, the body of Christ, the visible working phase of the church, was given here on the earth to keep God's people separate. But over in heaven there won't be no one but the redeemed there. Won't have anything to be kept separate from. Somebody said, you mean you're going to get separate? Yeah, just as much as the Word of God gets separate. Amen. My friend, God ordained a visible working phase, called it the church here, to keep his people separate from the very many forms of religion that's going on over the face of the globe. But over in heaven, John said, when I took a look over there, I saw no temple therein. Why, thank God, there won't be nothing, no danger getting mixed up with anything over there, because all will be there is the redeemed of all ages. But down here, there's more brands of religion than there is cigarettes. You brother can get up and shout and you're free from cigarettes, but brother, there's people bound with false forms of religion just as tight as you were with cigarettes. And unless they get loose from it, they'll end up in hell just as much as you would with a tobacco habit. Amen. My friend, we must proclaim a full gospel tonight that looses mankind from all of the bondages, whether they be religions or otherwise.
Amen.
Amen. So when we begin to talk about the temple of the tabernacle, the testimony in heaven, my friend, what is he talking about? Well, you'll have to let me back up and give you some facts of truth here, and I give you scripture to prove it. When John starts talking about the tabernacle, the testimony in heaven, I made the statement, I want to make it again, he's talking about the New Testament temple. The church of the living God, the bride of Christ, the church that Jesus built. Somebody said, how can you be so sure? Let's boil it down. In God's words, there's two testaments. A New Testament or testimony. Testament and testimony means the same. There's a New Testament and an Old Testament. There was a temple built by each of them. My friend, when we get down to the simplicity of the gospel, there's no need of people getting so confused. Somebody said, why are they so confused? So many winds of doctrine. Brother, they need to be taught the truth. Somebody said, well, how do you think they're going to hear it? How are they going to understand it? They must first possess the spirit of truth. And if they possess the spirit of truth, they'll hear the truth. Brother, that's the way God said we could try the spirits in people. How? Preach the truth. If they have the spirit of truth, they'll take the truth. If they won't take the truth, they've got another spirit and deceived by it.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus brought it in plainer terms when he said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And he said he was going to gather his sheep. Amen. The 34th chapter of Ezekiel said he's going to gather his sheep from all the places they've been scattered in the cloudy and dark day and bring them back again to the good mountains of Israel, and he'd feed his sheep there in a good pasture. Thank God, and they'd become fat and flourishing. Now, within the Word of God is two testaments. I'm taking my time here. There's two mountains. Basically, two mountains from where the two testaments were spoken. Brother, didn't you get Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and the 22nd verse, and read a little while for me. I'll not get along too far tonight if I don't. You people pray for me. Somebody said, Brother Wilson, you're going to preach a message on the church again. That's all I preach.
Amen.
Amen. I was fully resigned. I don't know whether I'm getting rheumatism or what. Got so stiff on my knee today, I couldn't get around, and I've had that pressure in the back of my head from fighting some of these battles that some of you people don't know anything about, and I'm not asking for pity, I'm asking for prayer.
Amen.
Well, I was fully resigned to just let the service fall in Brother William's hands, but Brother God wouldn't have it that way. He got me in the study and gave me an awful working over.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Now you pray for me. You pray for me. In God's word, there's two testaments, there's two mountains. And from those two mountains, the two testaments was given. And those two testaments just produced two people.
Amen.
Come on. Oh, somebody said, now, Brother Wilson, that's multiple, multiple, yes, but where'd this multiple business come from? Not from God's word. In 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, Paul said there, or 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, maybe the 3rd verse, Paul said there to the church at Corinth, I fear, lest the, as the serpent through his subtlety, a deceived Eve. My friend, you'll be led away from the simplicity that there is in Christ. And this old serpent right here, this dragon of the revelation, through his subtlety, has led many an honest soul away from the truth and the simplicity that there is in the truth of the gospel.
Amen.
The truth is very simple. Amen. We're in a day and age when you feel that if a man hasn't got at least a B.A. and maybe a D.D.L.L.D., he can't tell you the truth. But brother, sister, old Isaiah said it's a plain, a wayfaring man, no fool would ne'er there him. Amen. We need to get back to the simplicity of the gospel. Old Uncle Bud Robinson used to say, any man got enough sense to stay out of the creek can see it. Amen. And people running around here today. Amen. You can't do this. Where did that thing come from? I just got a letter last week blistering me again because I cry out against education. But brother, where did it start from? Right in the heart of darkness, Roman Catholicism, where a man had to be put to a certain degree before he could, my friend, sound out words of wisdom to the people. Education's all right, but whenever it's got into the ministry to a place of mark of recognition, brother, it's a beast power wherever it's working, and it needs to be cried out again.
Amen.
Amen. I like to put it on them. I feel like Joe Likens did. I wish you had a house full of preachers and tie them to their seats. Because when I try to preach through them loose, they get up and walk out. And tell them this. Brother, they can boast over their degrees and their double LDs, but I just studied again a few biographies of D.S. Warner, B.E. Warren, F.G. Smith. Those men that brought us this precious truth, and there wasn't one of them educated. Come on. Brother, let me tell you, the men that brought you the thing that you're playing around with didn't have it.
Amen.
They were humble men of God that God saw would be true to his message no matter what it was. Brother, all God asked tonight, whether it's a preacher or a lady, is just somebody who'll be faithful in that which he called them to. He'll do the rest. He'll do the rest. Just be faithful is all he said. My friend, when he can call, when he can find a man or woman that'll be faithful to his leading and preach what he says, preach it. Brother, sister, he'll furnish the message and he'll furnish the power for you. Put it out. Just open your mouth and let it roll.
Amen.
Amen. So I pray that God will help us see tonight that the truth of the matter is very simple. The devil's worked a terrible thing through his subtlety. He's got people that actually give up on the truth. Amen. They say, I just can't unravel it, can't straighten it out. Brother, they've made it so hard and put it so far-fetched and twisted the thing around and interwoven it with the teachings of men until honest hearts is not being able to find the truth as they ought. Brother, I'm here to tell you, we're moving into a final earthquake. When God's going to sound out the truth, if it knocks even people that claim to be God's people off their perch and lets them fall into the flames, he's going to sound the truth out. Prophet said, in these last days, this last shaking time, this earthquake, oh, Haggai prophesied about it. He said he's going to shake the heavens. He's going to shake the earth. He's going to shake the sea. He's going to shake the dry land. Amen. He's going to shake it all.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, Brother Wilson, you shake the whole business off. No, you go to Isaiah and he'll tell you that in this shaking time, the only thing that'd be left would be a few berries on the uppermost branches. Glory be to God. Brother, let me tell you, if you hold on good, if you get a good grip on Christ, if you're sure you got a hold of truth, and truth's got a hold of you, well, truth won't shake you loose. No, sir. Brother, the only thing that'll cause you to be shook loose from truth is if you lose your love for truth. But if you love truth, brother, you never get shook loose from truth, and truth the thing that's doing the shaking. Glory be to God. And the more you love truth, the more shaking you can stand. Brother, let me tell you, the shaking will just cause you to grow and cause you to hold on God to get a hold that much tighter.
Amen.
Two testaments, an Old Testament and a New Testament. Two mountains, Mount Sinai and Mount Zion. That's all that's in there. The first testament, the law, was given from Mount Sinai. The second one from Mount Zion.
Amen.
Very simple, isn't it? Circumcision of the flesh made you a Jew under the Old Testament. But Romans 2:28 and 29 said he's not a Jew any longer, is neither circumcision that of the flesh. But he is a Jew now who is one inwardly, whose circumcision is that of the heart.
Amen.
There was an Old Testament Israel, there's a New Testament Israel. Now there was an Old Testament Jerusalem where God's people went to worship. And there's a New Testament Jerusalem where God's people go to worship.
Amen.
Very simple. It's just that simple. Now Hebrews the 12th chapter, the 22nd verse. I've told you the essence, but let Brother Richie read it from God's word just hurriedly.
But ye are come unto Mount Zion.
Yeah, they backed up a little. He told you not come to Mount Sinai. That mount that couldn't be touched back there when God spake from the earth. Amen. And his voice so sounded out, if you please, you talk about an earthquake, he scared Israel out of their paths. Well, they said, don't let God talk anymore, Moses. You tell us, we'll do it.
Amen.
He said, you're not come to that mountain, but you're come to Mount Sinai. You're not come to Mount Sinai, but you're come to Mount Zion. Read it.
Unto the city of the living God.
All right, unto the city of the living God. Do not come back here to Sinai where the law was given. You come over here to Mount Zion. Somebody said Mount Zion's over in heaven. That's strange. Paul was writing to people here on the earth.
Amen.
All right.
The heavenly Jerusalem.
The heavenly Jerusalem. Now, come on. There was an old Jerusalem here where the literal Jews went to worship God. And they couldn't truly worship God anywhere else but at Jerusalem.
Amen.
They were yet Jews when it was down Babylon, but they couldn't truly worship God. They had to come back to Jerusalem.
Yes, amen.
Now we're come over here to the new Jerusalem for new Jews
amen.
Who are keeping the New Testament.
Amen.
Well, somebody said, who is Mount Zion? What is the New Jerusalem? Well, read it.
To the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn.
Well, all right. To the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn. That's Mount Zion. That's New Jerusalem. What is the church of the firstborn? Acts 20 and 28. Pastors, take heed to yourself and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost made you overseer, to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So the church of the firstborn is the church of God, Mount Zion, the New Jerusalem, the body of Christ, the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Well, somebody said, Brother Wilson, this revelation said that the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. Now get it. It wasn't the temple that was in heaven, but it was the temple built by the testimony in heaven.
Amen.
Read your scripture carefully. And the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven. Now what do you mean about the testimony being in heaven? Read right on.
To the general assembly and church of the firstborn.
The general assembly and church of the firstborn. This is an assembly.
Yes.
Somebody said we're all the church, no matter where we are. No, this is an assembly.
Yes. Which are written in heaven.
Which are written in heaven, all right.
And to God, the judge of all, and
yes,
to the spirits of just men made perfect.
All right.
And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant.
All right, here's the New Testament, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, or New Testament.
And to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better than that of Abel.
All right, keep on reading. We want to know about the testimony in heaven now.
See that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not...
All right, see now, you people that's come to this assembly, see that you refuse not him that speaketh.
For if they escape not, who refused him that spake on...
Now we're trying to get how this testimony from heaven build a temple. Is... For if they escape not who refused him that spake from the earth, back on Sinai. See that you don't refuse him now that speaketh from heaven over here. Glory be
Amen.
To God. Just as the old law was given back there on Sinai. And you know what happened if you refused him. Now, thank God we're over here to Mount Zion, and we're getting our orders from heaven.
Amen.
Amen. And this is the temple that's built, my friend, from the testimony in heaven. Christ is speaking from heaven now. Thank you, Brother Richie. Thank you, Brother Richie. So when we lay a hold on that thought, we want you to see, and I'll have to hurry or I'll not get... And my thoughts covered tonight. There is only two temples, basically, in the Word of God. One built of the Old Testament, Solomon's temple. And the New Testament temple, the Church of the Living God. Any other one, the Revelation says, is a synagogue of Satan.
Amen. Right.
Somebody said, that's an awful strong statement. Well, the Word of God is pretty strong. Just two temples, an Old Testament temple and a New Testament temple. Well, somebody said, Brother Wilson, we're all individually the temple of the Holy Ghost. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Hold that thought just a little bit till we get down to the people that make up the church and it'll be clarified for you. We'll not jump that thought one bit. Now, may we consider tonight the steps necessary for the temple to be opened up. The very thought that John said, after this I looked, after some certain things took place here, I looked and the temple of the tabernacle, the testimony in heaven was opened up. Now from that we learn right away, when he used that expression, it was opened up, it means it was made visible, came into being, opened up so men could get in it.
Amen.
Right from that statement we learn, this lets us know that it hadn't always been open. Amen. That people couldn't see it. It wasn't visible. There was a time down through the dark age here when, my friend, the church was not visible. It wasn't opened up to the mind of men. Revelation teaches us that. That certain conditions existed through parts of the gospel day when the church was not visible and men could not see it or come to it. May we remember a few things tonight at Church of God at Newark, Ohio, and everybody else that's listening. New Testament scriptures, this will help you now. It's helped me, and I know it'll help you. New Testament scriptures, to get the right understanding, we must know who they were written to. And what were the conditions that existed when they were written. If we don't, we can just pick them up out of their rightful setting and just preach just what's going on, most anything imaginable. But when it's truth, my friend, our gospel and prophecy and revelation will all hook together. Amen. And not contrary each other, but prove each other true. Confirm each other as we go along. When we really realize tonight that there's many a New Testament scripture that was written. And I want to say all New Testament scripture was written when the church, my friend, was truly one body. There was no sect to join.
Amen.
We learn that one thought. The New Testament will have more meaning and it'll become more precise to it. Any church you could join didn't come into being until 1530 or afterward. The first creed that was ever brought forth was the Augsburg Confession, brought forth in the year 1530. The morning church knew nothing of this sectarian strife and denominationalism that we have in this day. So when they talked freely back there, when the man or woman got saved back there, just like Brother Almoser said, brother, there wasn't no thought of him joining anything else. To join the Lord back there was the same to join the church. Because there wasn't nothing but the church back there. The only thing there was the church of the living God and paganism and idolatry. Brother, if you got saved, there was nobody else for you to worship with but the church of God.
Amen.
Now, if you remember that, my friend, you'll not be able to read your creed into the Word of God. It was written at a time when there was no creeds. There was nothing but the one church. Many different congregations of it, but all the same church, teaching the same Bible, led by the same Spirit, all going under the one name.
Amen.
Amen.
These people over here begin to read the Bible and take the seven churches of Asia and begin to talk about seven different kind of denominations. My Lord, there was no denomination back there in AD 96 when the letters was written to the seven churches of Asia with seven different congregations of the church. My friend, the very church of the living God in different locations around over Asia as far as their precise letters was concerned. Now, if we remember that, it'll help us much. It'll help us much. Well, somebody said, you're just putting that in to prove your point. Yeah, that's why I'm putting it in. But my point's true. There wasn't no denominations in the morning time. We'd never went into the dark ages and the church been lost sight of. There'd never been any church to join.
Amen.
These moves was just coming back to the truth that the church had in the morning time. Now when we remember this, that there was no sex to join, my friend, had to join oneself to the Lord was all the same as joining the church and worshiping with us. When we remember that, we read 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, it'll mean something to us. He comes down through there and takes the natural body and shows us the body of Christ, the church. Now I want to begin for you to see something here. My friend, first of all, we need to see that we individually are the temple of the Holy Ghost, but brother, there's a temple, a body, a church built together.
Amen.
Made up of many members. Now let's prove it by the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians 12:27, Paul said, now are ye the body of Christ, and members in particular. Now are ye the body of Christ, and members in particular. I can't preach on that one thought so long tonight, But when are we the body of Christ? My friend, when we're all gathered together in one place under one name, and every member of that assembly has been set in the body as it pleased God.
Amen.
Amen. That letter was written to the Church of God at Corinth. Amen. A group of people that were all gathered together, my friend, as one body.
Yes, amen.
And Paul went on to set up the truth of the matter, what it takes for us to get to a place where he can say, now are ye the body of Christ. Amen. May God help us, I say, to explode these false theories that we're all the church, no matter conditions. My friend, even from Roman Catholicism clear through Protestantism, they're claiming they're the church of God, but truth says no. Brother, if you'll dig deep enough into God's Word, you'll find the Church of God existed before Papal Rome was ever heard of.
Amen.
And she'll still be existing, amen, when Rome gets to a place she's unheard of.
Amen.
As far as that's concerned, amen. So when we begin to realize that, my friend, it ought to cause us to dig a little deeper into the Scriptures. May God help us. Somebody said, Brother Wilson, I wouldn't fret around so preaching the unity of God's people. I know you wouldn't, not with the spirit you possess. I'm here to tell you again tonight, straighten the shoulder. You haven't got anything in you that frets over the division among God's people. You haven't any Christ in you. I don't care who you are. Jesus sweat blood over this thing. The prayer he prayed till his sweat became his blood was not for the sins of the world, but for the division among his people.
Amen.
These old false spirits show up pretty fast when you go preaching on Bible unity. Other people can shout and carry on and tell about the victory God's given them over sin and everything else. I saw Pentecostals roll on the floor and shout and tell about restitution, but get up and lay the straight word of truth to them. They'll boil and get mad and show what's really in them. Brother, the Spirit of Christ, the unity of the Spirit, will work, and he'll work in mysterious ways to bring us to the unity of the faith. Just as sure as we keep the Spirit of God, we're sure to get together on the unity of faith, just as sure as we got it. Somebody said, how do you know? Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he'll guide you into all truth, just as sure as we're here. And somewhere along the line, we're going to have to either lose the Spirit of Christ or come to a full recognition of the truth and come together in the one body of Christ. Somebody said, I don't believe he can do it. He done it in a few hours in the morning time. Brother, let me tell you, he started out with a very small group that had followed Jesus. They were divided in their thinking. Some was looking for a literal kingdom. Some were looking for a spiritual kingdom. Some wanted to sit on the right hand and some on the left and didn't know what they was asking for. Asking for a position where the lost was going to sit. Come on. My friend, they were ignorant to the teachings of truth. But when the Holy Ghost fell upon them, old Peter got straightened out that quick. He stood up and said, let me freely speak. And brother, the Holy Ghost saved 3,000. And then it jumped 2,000 more to 5,000. And somebody said there wasn't agreement. The scripture said they had one heart, one soul, and one mind, and one judgment.
Amen.
And big wigs in religion running over the country and say we can't see it alike. I know they can't. That's exactly what the Laodicean letter says when it says, anoint your eyes with the eye salve that you might see. Glory be to God. Brother, if we see it, we see it alike. The trouble is you're seeing too many things and calling it it.
Amen.
Peter couldn't see it till the Holy Ghost came. No. He was still looking for a literal kingdom. Study the word and see. But when the Holy Ghost anointed his eyes, and that bunch went to shouting and praising God, amen, in one accord, sounding out the praises of God, he followed behind and said, this is that which Joel prophesied about. I didn't know what he was talking about, but now I know this is that. Man, oh, may God help us. May God help us to get our eyes anointed. So we need to explode these false theories. Brother, let me tell you, it takes the work of the Holy Spirit to bring us together, and he'll bring us together. Glory be to God, where we can sit together in heavenly places. Paul said, you hath he quickened who were dead, and has raised us up together, and caused us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, or in the body of Christ. The same thing. All right? Somebody said, Brother Wilson, thought you were going to preach on some steps that had to be taken for the temple to really be opened up. That's what I'm working at. John said there were some things that had to happen before the temple could be opened up. Now, when we begin to study what he saw, in this second verse, he said, I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. That was the first symbol we got to answer. Let me call your attention to this part of the chart. Somebody said, what is a sea of glass? Well, if we just run off and put human understanding to it, we could have any answer imaginable. But if we stay right in God's Word, for every dark saying there is in God's Word, there's another scripture to put light on. Don't go outside the Word of God to get the answer to these symbols. You get in trouble. Brother, the sea of glass has been the sea of glass ever since the Old Testament. Back in the Old Testament, you read in maybe Exodus the 38th chapter, in the old temple, right here, my friend, outside the tabernacle was a laver, or a sea of glass. When Solomon's temple was builded, he moved from that little laver up to that big sea of glass with the oxen holding it, three of them looking in each direction. Now Peter comes right, pardon me, Paul wrote to Titus over in the New Testament and said, we're saved by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. My friend, that sea of glass is a type of God's Word, or symbol of God's Word. Somebody said, how do you know? 2 Corinthians 3, and start reading about the 8th verse, and he'll come down through and tell you that the Word of God's like a glass.
Yeah.
And as long as Moses was preached, there was a veil over our eyes, we couldn't look in it. But if we turn to the Lord, the veil's taken away, and we have liberty not just to look on the Word, but to look in it. Glory be to God. So many people looked on it and put it on the shelf because they couldn't see something. But if you turn to the Lord and let him take the veil away, you can look down in it and get the truth that's back of every written word in that page.
Amen.
In James, the first chapter, the 22nd to the 25th verse, he said the Word of God is like a glass, just like the natural man seeing himself in a glass. My friend, that sea of glass. Amen. If that doesn't convince you, if you wait till after service, I'll give you some more, but I've got to go, or I'll never get done by 11, and I don't care if I don't.
Amen.
I'm just feeling just about as good as I can feel.
Amen.
He said, I saw a sea of glass. I'm talking about what it takes to produce an open temple that people can see, that they can come into, and sit down in the midst of it, and feel the goodness. Maybe get a few crumbs while we crack the nuts and get the goodies out.
Amen.
Said, I saw a sea of glass mingled with fire. Now the fire, my friend, is just what the brother preached last night. Fire through the Word of God is just like a ribbon, a symbol of the Holy Spirit. My friend, the Word of God mingled with fire. That's the first thing needed. My friend, somebody said, how do you know that's the first thing needed? We cannot have true worship tonight without the Word of God mingled with fire.
Yeah.
Jesus told the woman at the well, when he began to give her a drink, down about the 23rd verse, when she talked about our fathers worshiping this mountain and that mountain. Brother, they were ignorant to gospel light. They thought because Moses got high on a mountain back there, he got closer to God. So old Israel got high, I mean literally high, on mountaintops. They thought they'd get closer to God. But thank God for light. That lets us know you can get close, just close to God in the basement, you can't on the roof. Amen. It isn't our literal position, it's our spiritual position that lets us get close to God. God told the woman at the well, your father's worshiping this mountain and that mountain. Amen. She said, and you say Jerusalem's the place to worship. 23rd verse, he said, the hour is coming and now is when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. My friend, we've got nothing more than a symbolic expression of the Word of God preached by the Spirit of God. Brother, we still need that fire. Thank God for the message last night. We still need that fire. We can rattle off God's eternal word, but brother, if it isn't mingled with fire, it'll never produce that which it was sent forth to produce. So when we talk about the sea of glass mingled with fire, we're talking about nothing else than the first thing needful to produce this open temple. What's it going to be? It's going to take some straight preaching, anointed by the fire of the Holy Ghost. There's lots of people that would come to the truth, but they need to have it preached to them. And it needs to be preached in a burning way, that it'll burn into their hearts. Not something they can shake off when they go home, but it'll burn into their hearts and go home with them and stay with them. Thank God, until it accomplishes that which God set it to accomplish. So the first thing necessary, we've got to have some truth preached. That's the reason, my friend, that many have lost sight of the church, that once caught a glimpse of her and was maybe ready to come to her, but they've lost sight of her. Why? The ministry, too many of them, have left off on preaching these old truths that puts the church out there separate and distinct, standing on God's Word, filled with the Holy Spirit. In Revelation, the 21st chapter and the 11th verse, as it talks of the church there, somebody said, I thought he's talking about heaven. No, it says, come hither and I'll show you the Lamb's wife, the bride. That's the church. You've shown them there. And it said in the 11th verse, her light was clear as crystal. Now, brother, let me tell you, it's going to take a heap of preaching if we can make the light clear as crystal. That means clearer they can see it, just crystal clear. Too many people's vision is foggy when it comes to the vision of the church. It's going to take clear preaching. Her light was clear as crystal. Glory be to God. All right? So we've got the Word of God mingled with fire, symbolized by the sea of glass mingled with fire. The next thing we've got to have the church or the temple open up, got to have people. John said, the next thing I saw as it were a sea of glass. I'm reading in Revelation 15 and 2. I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire and them. Hey, man, I'm going to preach on them a while. And them. Somebody said, well, don't stop so quick. Well, we go too fast. And them. Brother, it takes people. You can get the best preacher to ever preach, and he can stand and preach for 30 years. But if we don't have people to live it, nobody will ever see the church. Amen. And I'm going to preach to you again tonight as your pastor. Every one of you has proven the Word of God true or false. Amen. God lays a message on Brother Wilson's heart and he gets up and preaches to you and you go out and just contrary to it. Just remember you're proving the Word of God true or false.
Amen.
Amen. So many times, you know, an old spirit gets in people, just let me digress a little. And they think they're hurting Brother Wilson. No, you ain't hurting Brother Wilson. It may bring physical hurt on Brother Wilson. But you're hurting yourself. Because the Bible said to preach it, and if they believe, it'll save them. If they don't, it'll damn them. You just let your mind wander a little bit. Up along the highway of holiness, you let your mind go back a little and you'll see a lot of wrecks sitting along the side. and they're wrecks tonight.
Yes.
And if you could see into their heart and pry into their lives as I've had to pry into some, they might tell you many things happened, but just keep digging. You get back far enough, they'll finally confess. They rebelled against some truth someplace.
Amen.
Put them on a spur track.
Yes.
The word of God, my friend, means more than many people are taking it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So he said, I saw a sea of glass mingled with fire and them. I want to say again, it takes people to make the church. Now I clarify the other thought. Somebody said, Brother Wilson, I've always felt that we're the temple of the Holy Ghost. Well, that's good to feel that way. The scripture says that what we are. You individually is the temple. But brother, sister, collectively, when God calls his people together, they make up a temple.
Amen.
And he fills that temple with his spirit just as much as he does you individually.
Amen.
Oh, now, Brother Wilson, you're getting off on a limb now. No, I'm still on the main line. Somebody said, where's your Bible? Well, I give you lots of it. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, the same one we's in. Let's just go back and bring the Apostle Paul right back to witness stand. He was showing the Corinth, the church at Corinth, the church. They may not have seen it. And brother, the sea of glass had to be shown forth there. There had to be some light shown forth. There was people there. He had taught them that they're the body of Christ. They're the temple. Pardon me, didn't say there's the body of Christ. He said there's the temple of the Holy Ghost. But listen to him here in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and the 18th and 19th verse. But now God has set the members, every one of them in the body, as it pleases him. And if they were all one member, where was the body? Now he begins to talk about another temple. See, he had got that truth across to them that they need to be careful how they live because they were individually the temple of the Holy Ghost. But now he begins to talk about the collective temple, brought together and takes the natural body with its many members. Many members, but one body. Now come on, you can't say you're the church. No, you're just one of the members if you're saved.
Amen.
And you can be a member of the church and yet not be set into the body yet.
Amen.
Come on. Somebody said, well, everybody saved is a member of it. Amen. No matter where you are, if you're saved, you're a member of it. But it's something else for God to take the members and set it into the body.
Amen.
As it pleases. Did you get what he said? He sets the members in. This is a hard message against people that says, we're just a church anywhere we are. We're members of it. But he needs to set the members in the body.
Amen.
Now look out, Brother Wilson. Friends, you ought to begin to see that Jesus prayed for a visible unity that the world might believe. The world can't see spirits. Ah, we've got the unity of the Spirit, yes, but the world can't see spirits. No, all they can see is what the Spirit's producing. Tomorrow morning comes, people all over this town say they got the union of the Spirit will go to their own pen. Amen. The world stands back and looks on. They can't see the Spirit. Just as I told you the other night, you can't see my Spirit. I don't care. I don't care unless somebody, God must have given you a heap of discernment. You can't see my Spirit, but you can see what the Spirit's producing.
That's right. Amen.
This was a visible oneness. We're members. No matter where you are, if you're truly born again, you're a member of the church. But look here, you can take my body and cut it all to pieces. Ship a leg out in California, be sure and tag it. Ship an arm over to Australia. Put my head up in New York. My head up in New York, and anywhere you see me, if you read the tag, you say, that's a member of Brother Wilson's body.
Isn't that wonderful? How are you, Brother Wilson? Why don't you pull yourself together? Amen. It'd still be a member of my body. But brother, it'd be a long ways from walking and talking and working. Have to get the members together. Assemble.
Amen.
Now, Lord, help us. Lord, help us. God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleases Him. If they were all one member, where is the body? John said, I saw a sea of glass mingled with fire in them. Who had gotten victory over the beast, his image, his mark, and the number of his name, standing on that sea of glass with the hearts of God.
Amen.
Praising God.
Amen.
So my friend, it not only takes the word of God preached full and free, but it takes some people that obey the word of God.
Yes.
And if you obey the word of God, it'll do one thing, it'll give you victory. That's what John said. I saw them that had got the victory. Victory. Brother, there's victory in God's word. That's why I love it. That's why I want to obey it. Every man I ever obeyed gave me greater victory.
Amen.
John said, I saw the sea of glass. I saw the word of God. Then I saw them that had got the victory. Amen. Over the beast, his image and his mark and the number of his name standing on that sea of glass. And they didn't have a pickle push like the brother said last night. They was happy. They had the hearts of God praising God for the truth.
Amen.
You know, the Spirit of God has an all time getting you to praise God.
Right.
I've helped people lately. Glad to see Sister Goss raise up tonight. Been having a little trouble just breaking through that terrible web. And God help us as a people of God to break that up. Somebody said, well, have such a feeling in her service that it's hard for new babes to break through and get up and praise God.
Amen. Yeah.
Somebody said, well, how we get rid of it? Be a little more freer in your own experience.
Amen.
Be a little more freer in your own experience. It'll make it easy. I told two of them this week. Said, I just want to testify, but I can't get up. I said, just stick your hand up. I'll come and get you.
Amen.
I'll get you up. But the Spirit of God has an awful time getting people to break loose and praise Him. Oh, if He had His way, if He had His complete way, ain't no telling what would happen.
That's right.
Ain't no telling what would happen. Somebody said, well, ain't no telling. Yes, it'd be one thing for sure. Brother, God gets some glory.
Amen.
And God would sure get some praise.
Yeah.
Brother, if there's one thing the Spirit of God will cause you to do, amen, there's lots of other things He might cause you to do, even to speaking in other languages, if the need be. There's lots of things He might cause you to do, but there's one thing He will cause you to do. Praise God. Praise God. Yes, sir. He'll cause you to praise God, just as sure as we're here. So, my friend, there was a people standing there with victory over the beast, his image, the mark, and the number of his name. Now you people pray for me, and God will help me put some shortening in and get down through here. I want this crystal clear. Verse 4 in this 15th chapter of Revelation tells us how they got the victory. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee. Why? For thy judgments are made manifest. Brother, it's going to take some judgment preaching against this false religion before people will ever get out of it. You talk about no necessity of pouring out the vials of God's wrath. But if you study with me, my friend, you'll find that John said in that first verse of 15th chapter of Revelation, I saw a sign great and marvelous in heaven. Seven angels having the seven last plagues, which are filled up with the wrath of God. Amen. What are they? He come right on down through, and he'll tell you in the 17th chapter of Revelation, there come one of the seven angels, had the seven vials, and said, come hither, and I'll show you the great whore that sits on the beast. And the Lord would let me, and don't direct some other way. I'm going to talk about that beast tomorrow. Amen. While I talk about the true unity tonight, I'm going to talk about the false one in the morning. So you know both sides of the story.
Amen.
Amen. Who showed him that? One of the seven angels had the seven vials, or ministers, the Greek says. These are not angelic beings. Nothing more than preachers. Somebody said, how do you know? This angel right here got to telling John so much truth that the 17th chapter tells you, the 22nd chapter tells you, John fell down at his feet and was going to worship him.
Yes. Amen.
And that angel said, get up from there. I'm just a servant of God like you are, and one of your brethren. Now come on, that keeps the sayings of this book. He's nothing more than an old Church of God preacher. One of the seven angels had the seven vials come and said, I'll show you the judgment of this thing. And he carried him away in the spirit and showed him this eighth beast. God help us to see it while it's forming up out there tonight.
Amen.
21st chapter of Revelation, one of the seven angels had the seven vials, said, come hither and I'll show you the lambs. The lamb's wife, the bride. Who showed it to him? A minister that's pouring out the vials. Brother, you cannot show people the church. You cannot show people Babylon unless you pour out the judgments of God's word against this false religion. This, the worst theory that's ever fell among the people of God, has got them the feeling you can love people in to the church of the living God. It takes love, but they've got to know the truth. Somebody said, how do you know? Listen to the testimony of God's word. These ones that were standing on the sea of glass said, all nations will come and worship before you. Why? Your judgments have been made manifest. What produced the Church of God of the evening time? These old brethren, I named some of them out, and a multitude more that poured out the judgments of God's word that give old Babylon a thrashing and thrash the wheat out of it. Brother, people's got to know the truth of the matter if they ever come out of these things. They're still coming. Amen. On every side. Thank God people's listening to the truth. I just got the letter I told you about it. Brother and Sister McCormick, faith missionaries among the Navajo Indians in New Mexico. He's working there, God bless his heart, with his hands to build a school building and get it ready by next fall to start teaching them elementary subjects along with the teachings of Christ. The brethren, some of them, afforded some money for him and his wife to get off the field. They hadn't been away from the place for a long time. And come to the Moore, Oklahoma camp meeting. They come there. I was speaking in the night services from the chart. And then my wife and I got to spend a lot of time with them after the service over at the trailer, talking about the truth of the matter. Thank God. Somebody said, what'd you do? Force them? I said, no. Just ponder over these things, Brother and Sister McCormick. Pray about them. I knew they were God's children. I could recognize the spirit they possessed. I got a letter 10 days ago. Said, Brother Wilson, God has showed us the truth. We've already withdrew our name from the denomination we were in. You pray for us that God will unfold more of the truth we intend to stand for. Brother, sister, you don't have to follow people around and win them and amen and give them a visitation committee and pull them and tug at them. Tell them the truth and leave them with God. Brother, if God don't show people the truth, they'll never see it. Amen. They'll see it. They'll see it. Who wouldn't come worship before you, these fellows said, because your judgments is made manifest. Judgments made manifest. The truth's been told. The truth's been told. Well, let's go a little farther. It says they had victory. Glory be to God over the beast. I'll not spend much time here. But victory over the beast, my friend, reaches farther than many people think. In the 13th chapter of Revelation, we have a description of this beast symbolizing Roman Catholicism. There's two beasts in the Revelation. The first beast symbolizing Roman Catholicism, the second one Protestantism. This first beast that followed the dragon, paganism, and my friend come up out of the sea having 7 heads and 10 horns. And went right on and feet like a bear. We'll not go on and describe him. But if we would take history and prove, my friend, we've got a picture here of the Roman Empire under its papal form, with the 7 heads of government, and the 10 horns denote the 10 kings, that it was broken up, or the 10 kingdoms that the Roman Empire was broken up into. Now, I want to talk about this beast just a little bit. It says here in the 7th verse in the 13th chapter of Revelation, it said it was given unto him to make war with the saints and overcome them, and power was given to him over all kindreds, tongue, and nation. This symbol, my friend, of this beastly power is a symbol of Roman Catholicism, and we should have time to spend quite a bit of time on it, because it's surely rising again in our very nation. Roman Catholicism will tell you today that they're the church, and they believe in the apostolic succession. You read that in the newspaper just lately. That pope that's over there today riding around is the first pope, they say, to go back to Jerusalem since Peter did. My Lord and my God. They'll tell you that that fella that sits there at the head of the Roman Catholic Church gets his power from God. That's what they tell you. Christ first gave it to Peter, and Peter handed it on down by apostolic succession to the man they got. They say they get their power from God. Well, let's see what the Revelation said. Revelation 13 and 2 said the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. They don't get their power from God. They got it from the dragon, and he got his from the devil.
Amen.
That's why the Word of God calls him the man of sin.
Amen.
My Lord and my God. I read statistics today that if the trend kept on as it were, the Protestants or the Catholics will outnumber the Protestants 2,000 to 1. If the trend kept on as it was.
Yes.
And then when the truth of the matter lets us know that the man of sin is sitting at the head of it, claiming to give power unto his associates to forgive people their sins. What's it mean tonight to have victory over the beast? Revelation 16 and 10 said when the 5th vial of truth was poured out on that thing, here's the truth of the matter, his kingdom was full of darkness. Roman Catholicism tonight is full of darkness. Brother, when the morning church went into the apostasy, and this thing is the outgrowth of the apostasy, the Word of God became closed. Roman Catholicism is full of darkness because she rejects the light. My friend, she killed the Christian, close to 60 million of them. She burnt the Bibles, and only ones left she translated into Latin and changed them to suit her own fancies. Amen. That old fellow will tell you, he's told you lately, that God give him power to forgive sins and to change the laws and to change the Word of God. What a deception. Amen. A man down here telling people, I can just switch that Bible and there ain't nothing you can do. All I have to do is tell you God told me to change it.
Amen.
My friend, the Word of God, Jesus tells us in the 24th chapter of Matthew, when he led us right up to the place where he said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. Glory be to God. We need to load our guns with that bullet and preach it towards Roman Catholicism as we never have before. He can't change the word. No, sir. Jesus said, if any man, Paul said, this gospel I preach unto you, I didn't receive it of men, neither was I taught it of men. Galatians, the 1st chapter. And he said, if any man come to you, or if an angel come down from heaven, preaching any other gospel than this, let him be accursed. I say, let him be accursed, because it's not according to truth.
kingdom full of darkness. There's no light in Roman Catholicism. Somebody said, don't you think there's any Catholic Christians? Not according to the Roman Catholic teachings. Not enough light in Roman Catholicism to lead anybody. They fight a born-again experience. And a man or woman is not saved without a born-again experience. His kingdom's full of darkness. Now this people over here had victory over the beast. Thank God. I counted the privilege to stand on the sea of glass. Sometimes the fire gets so hot you can't stand there. You jump around and walk like Brother Moore does. Amen. But all the moving around you do, you don't have to get off the Word of God. Not if you behave yourself in the right way. Brother, the Spirit of God will never cause you to act unseemly. No, sir. He never calls you to do anything. Amen. That would be out of the course of right living. But as long as you act in the right way, amen, and got a spirit about you that warms the hearts of God's people, you never get off the Word of God, no matter how much traveling around you do. That thing full of darkness. He said they had victory over the beast. Well, how do we get victory over the beast? May God help us tonight. Well, let's read it and see. Here it says his kingdom full of darkness. Colossians, the first chapter and the 13th verse. There Paul said, giving thanks unto the Father, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. My friend, we get victory over the power of darkness. We get victory over this beast. You don't have trouble with Roman Catholics if you can get them born again. Short of a born-again experience, they'll still be under the power of that thing. And the power of darkness is a terrible thing. I would to God I had power, or I had time to stop and demonstrate it in a greater way. Friends, that thing is real to them. There'll be Roman Catholics roll out of bed long before you'd ever get out in the morning, or me either, to think about going to church. If I'd asked you to come to a 5 o'clock prayer meeting, we wouldn't get half as many out as we do for a 9 o'clock. Come on. Too much to ask. Then fellows will roll out at 5 o'clock.